If you were given three wishes and you could ask for anything in the whole wide world, what would you ask for? I'm going to give you a minute to think about that because it's something I think we would need a little time to think about. And I encourage you to choose carefully because there are often ramifications of our choices that we don't really think about at first. And if you wish, you can jot down some of your thoughts on the top of the sermon outline in the worship folder. Again, I give you just a few moments to think about that. If you had three wishes and could choose anything in the whole wide world, what would you choose? Okay, got some thoughts? We'll come back to them a little bit later. Sermon study today takes us to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. It's page 333 in your worship Bible. A little background as you're looking up the passage. As we continue today our sermon series, Prayer is Powerful. Our prayer today is a little less formal. It's really a prayer in response to an invitation offered by the Lord himself. Our prayer warrior is King Solomon. He has just ascended to the throne and has traveled about 5 or 6 miles to the city of Gibeon to offer sacrifices, thank offerings to the Lord at the tabernacle, the Old Testament house of worship. So, 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 10. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Confession time. I've often been a wee bit jealous of Solomon. Why would God give Solomon the opportunity to ask for anything he wanted? Solomon was the king. He already had everything a man could want, didn't he? Now, through the years, as I've read through this section of Scripture, I'd often think to myself, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if God would give each and every one of us this blank check and say, "Ask for anything you want. Lord, just think of how we could change the world." That's my so-called sanctified reason for God to answer that. And I'm sure that God would probably, if God gave us whatever he wanted, I'm sure that we would change the world, but my question is, would it be really for the better? Now, in my study this week, I came across some words of Jesus that I've read many times before, but now, reading them in connection with this text, they suddenly appeared in a new light. They're the words of John 14, 14, the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Jesus is talking to you and me. And what's he saying? You may ask for anything. There it is. In black and white, the infallible word of God. Jesus is basically giving us the same invitation that God gave to Solomon. In fact, as you read through the Gospels, you see Jesus repeat this same kind of invitation over and over again. And it's not just this one-time deal, but it's like, anytime, ask whatever you want, and I will do it. That's the invitation that Jesus has given me. So why am I not taking him up on it? Why am I not asking for anything? For the big things, the huge things, the things that will change and could change this world. I think I know Jesus' answer. Oh, you of little faith. I think I struggle to ask the big things because I struggle to believe that this invitation could even be for real, right? I mean, it does seem like a pretty dangerous invitation. I mean, would you give your child anything he asked for? I once had a 2-year-old ask me to play with a butcher block of knives. The thought of John the Baptist's head on a platter also comes to mind. And if you're not familiar with that story, read Matthew 14 sometime today. Tell Solomon that he can have anything that he asks for. God, do you know what you are saying? You know this guy. You know his weaknesses. He has an addictive personality. You know the size of the harem that he is one day going to amass and how he's going to allow his foreign wives to lead him away from you. You know, I could envision Solomon asking for some foolish, crazy, dangerous, self-centered thing because, frankly, I could see myself doing the very same thing. Why does God trust Solomon? Why does he trust me to give me such an open invitation? Why does it seem as though God trusts me more than I even trust myself? I believe it's because God sees me differently than I see myself. I see a weak, miserable sinner who makes bad choices all the time. I feel that many times I can't even trust myself. But God sees me in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Can you put that passage up? If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. So God sees me as a spirit-filled believer. God sees me as one of his dear children. And so ask for anything is God's way of helping and encouraging his child to grow and to mature. It's kind of like a father who lets go of his stumbling toddler's hand so that he can learn to walk. In the same way, God offers this invitation, ask for anything so that we can learn to walk by faith. You know, I think another reason, though, that I don't do that I don't ask the big thing, is that I also wrestle with the mind-boggling promise that Jesus includes here and says, and I will do it. I mean, who am I that God would actually, the God of the universe, would listen to me and that he would change his eternal plans for me? Now, it's not that I don't know that God is all-powerful. I do know he's the God who spoke and this vast and incredibly beautiful universe sprang into existence. He is the one who keeps this world spinning day after day. I am familiar with the incredible miracles that Jesus performed, that God performed throughout history, the splitting of the Red Sea, causing the sun to stand still, raising the dead. But the question is, would God do these same kind of incredible miracles for me? Sure, God listened to Moses, right? When he stepped into the breach and he interceded for God's people, but that's Moses. God had pulled him out of the River Nile for a purpose, to lead God's people. Yeah? God listened to the yearnings of Abraham's heart, and he gave him a child. This is Abraham, right? He's the father of all believers. He's the giant of faith. He listened to faithful Joshua, and he caused the sun to stand still because Joshua was fighting God's battle. But will he listen to me? Well, the answer is yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes. And why? Because of who God has made us in Christ. You see, God has really actually made you a Moses. He's pulled you out of the waters of baptism for a purpose, to be a leader in your families, to the people, spiritual leader, the people around you in your life. He has made you an Abraham, giving you the faith of Abraham. You are a child of Abraham. He has made you a Joshua, equipped you to fight the spiritual battles of your life. He did all this when he answered the deepest yearning of your own heart. You see, there was a time when we had no idea, when we were lost, helpless and hopeless. We didn't even know what to pray for. And yet God answered in the most perfect and beautiful way. God sent his son. God sacrificed himself. God laid down his life on a cross to pay for our sin. He bought us back. He brought us back into his family, where he chooses to love and honor us as though we were his one and only son. The Apostle Paul, I think, gives us a beautiful answer to this question. Will God really listen to my prayers? Will he really answer them? When he says, Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? My friends, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God longs to hear and to answer your prayer. So what are you going to pray? I think Solomon's response is very instructive. Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David. Because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart, you have continued to this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day." Solomon's first response to God's incredible invitation was an expression of gratitude. Solomon thanks God for the incredible goodness that God showed to his father David and that same kindness that God has shown and showered on him. Our petition for the Lord's Prayer today is the fourth petition. Give us today our daily bread. Now, in his explanation, what does this mean? This is what Luther says. He says, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our bread with thanksgiving. You know, as God's children, as his dear, beloved people, our overwhelming, consistent attitude in our hearts is gratitude, isn't it? Everything we are, everything we have, everything good that has been given to us, everything that is helpful, everything that makes us happy, that fills us, feeds us, our very lives, spiritual and physical, it all comes from the hand of a gracious God. Now, we feel this way, and we know this, even though other people don't, because, again, God has made us new. And when he did so, he opened our eyes to things we wouldn't otherwise see. The Apostle Paul says that, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it's to this new, grateful, spirit-filled me that Jesus gives this invitation, ask for anything. Jesus trusts that this new, grateful, spirit-filled me is going to ask for the right things, for things that truly matter. Solomon didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame or the fountain of youth. Instead, Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for spiritual insight. He asked for the ability to be able to lead God's people wisely, so that they could praise God with their life and so they could spend eternity with God in heaven. Solomon prayed for something that really mattered because Solomon's heart was in tune with God's. Solomon had tasted and seen the incredible goodness of God, and he'd come to realize that what he really wanted was what God wanted. So God lovingly and he strategically gives his children this invitation to ask for anything because he trusts that his spirit is leading his children, that they will pray for things that truly matter, for their personal spiritual growth, for the growth of God's church, for opportunities every day to display God's love in our lives, for the salvation of souls. God's children recognize that this life, the time that we've been given, the wealth that God, material possessions that God has given us, the relationships that we enjoy, the opportunities that we have every day, all of these are leveraged for something far greater than this life and this world. We were created for a purpose, and that purpose is to give glory to God. And our prayer lives reflect that. We trust that God is all-powerful, that he can do anything, and so we ask for anything. We ask for the big things. We ask that God take away our cancer, even when the doctor says it's impossible. We pray that God free us from our addiction. That God heal our marriages. That God brings our wandering child or grandchild back into the faith. Heck, we pray that God would bring every last lost sinner back into his family because we know God can do anything. We can pray for the big things. And yet at the same time, we also recognize that this old sinful nature still clings to us and that it often influences our thinking. And so what sometimes looks good and right to us is not necessarily good and right. But we trust that the God who sees all things, the God who loves us with this perfect Father love, will only give us what is truly good and right. Sometimes the answer that we really want to our prayer is no. Because in the end, we recognize that what we really want, it's what God wants. Now, Solomon didn't ask for wealth or fame or long life. He prayed for spiritual blessings. And here's another important idea in that fourth petition, give us today our daily bread. He could pray for these things. Focus on spiritual things because he trusted that God would take care of him, that he would provide the rest. And, you know, as we look at the rest of the story, God went way beyond just taking care of Solomon. God made Solomon wealthier and gave him more fame than any other man alive in his day. Did you know that the fourth petition to the Lord's Prayer is the only petition, one out of seven, that asks for physical blessings in our lives? All the rest are spiritually focused. Jesus is teaching us how to pray with trust and confidence, to pray for the spiritual things, to pray for things that truly matter, for things that have an eternal impact, and to trust that God will provide everything else we need day by day. So let's go back now to that opening question. If you were given three wishes and you could ask for anything in the whole wide world, what would you ask for? As you look back at your answers now, are you still happy with all of them? If not, no worries. There's no judgment if we change our answers. We recognize as Christians, we're always growing, we're always learning. God is always teaching us. And yet, I suspect because you are children of God, that there are things on that list that are truly important. Things that matter. Because the spiritual welfare of ourselves, the spiritual welfare of people around us, these are the things that truly matter to God. And these are things that I bet are on your list too. And many of those requests would require an absolute miracle. But no problem now, right? Because Jesus has invited us to ask for anything. And he has promised that he will do it. I'd like to give you the opportunity now, just for a few moments, to actually do that. To take Jesus up on his offer. I want you to take a moment to pray silent to yourself for anything. Pray for the big thing. Pray for what is really on your heart. And as you do so, know that Jesus, God is listening, and he will answer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bring these requests before you today, we're first of all humbled. We're humbled by even the realization that you would ask us to ask for anything, that you would give us this kind of invitation, because we know, Lord, that we don't deserve it. We know, Lord, that we're often more physically focused than spiritually, and we don't necessarily always pray for the right things. We know that the old part of us, that old sinful nature, loves to take over and rule. Thank you for opening our eyes to see once again that that's not who we are, that you have made us new in Christ, that you have given us a heart that beats for you and a heart that desires what you desire. Thank you for this privilege to be a part of you ruling this world in the sense that we have the opportunity to ask for things that will really make a difference, that will really change things for eternity. And we pray that more and more you fill our hearts and you help us to want and desire, to long for the things that you long for, to long for that reconciliation, that peace for ourselves and for everyone around us. And we recognize, Lord, that when we ask these big things, that sometimes we're also the answer to the prayer. And so when there are opportunities, when we can speak to people and share your love or display it in our lives, give us the strength, the power to do that as well. So come to you in prayer today. We pray for Pastor Steve Keel, to whom we've offered a call to serve as our resident missionary. We pray that you continue to be with him and bless him. He received two calls the same day, and he's made a decision on the other call. He's returned that, which means he can now focus on our call. We pray that if it be your will, you'd move him to come and serve here among us and help us in our mission to share your love with all people. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name, and we're also going to join together and pray that prayer that you taught us. The words will be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you.